Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing, sponsor of the annual customer seminars. This virtual or in-person program will provide tools for the demands and challenges of managing a farm business in today's environment, along with updates on the latest federal and private crop insurance products and new program ECO, Enhanced Coverage Option.
This is the January 21st edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Merrill Crowley from First Choice Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois. Steve Freed joins us. He's the Vice President of Research at ADM Investor Services in Chicago. Kurt Kimmel is here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And Wayne Nelson is here from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Steve, I think we'll start by asking you a series of questions. And to begin with, I'd kind of like to get your feel for how you viewed the USDA reports coming into them and how much that view was actually in place once those numbers were released.
Well, I think the December report was bullish, and I think the market rallied after that, and we got a lot of speculative buying that pushed to new highs. The January report was pretty much in line, except for the 2020 corn and soybean crop numbers, and that had a kind of a knee-jerk reaction that people were kind of scratching their heads about, why that was so important. But, I think every USDA report is going to be critical, especially March when we get possible redefining of our carryouts and take a look at planting intentions. So, we've had some big reactions to their numbers, and they're always a surprise.
Wayne, a question for Steve?
Well, Steve, as we look ahead to what's going on here, are we going to continue to see really strong buying from China, or is it going to be switching to South America, and if so, how soon?
I think that we're still competitive versus Brazil through February for beans. And I think that there is some feeling that under the new administration, China might come in and buy more U.S. ag goods. There was some beans announced to China today and some corn to the unknown. It probably was China. On the corn side of things, we're really the only game in town. We're the cheapest in the world, and that's probably out through May. We expect record exports to be shipped out of this country for corn now through May. And again, the commercials believe that the Chinese crop is actually 20 to 30 million tons below what the USDA is using. And that given the increase in hog herds and some of the profitability, we expect them to continue to buy corn. Some people think all origin might be as high as 25 million tons this year. Versus the government's 17.5. And then next year they could take as much as 50 million tons to try to increase their reserve stocks. The only thing we have right now that we're going to watch really closely is the virus is picking up and spreading in China. They've locked down two cities and they've put barricades up in and out of Beijing. So we're trying to figure out if that affects, their demand or not.
Kurt Kimmel?
Today, Informa came out with a pretty good jump in acres compared to this year on beans and corn, both 7 million more acres of beans and 2 to 3 million more acres of corn. Kind of reading, fueled the bull spread in through here. Is this bull spread going to continue to work, or are we going to see the trade wait until we get a little closer to the planting intentions report to get a real read on it?
Well, I think in the case of corn, you have a lot of private people thinking our carryout is closer to 1.1 billion than the government's 1.552. So I think that we need to buy corn from farmers, and they've sold a lot of old crop and starting to sell new crop. So I think that for corn, the inverse will will probably gain some more steam. On the bean side, again, you're trying to balance the fact that we have record exports, record crush, and we got to ration that versus flipping over to South America maybe in March. We are hearing of a few cargoes of beans that were sold out of Brazil to China in February that have been switched to the U.S. And, you know, the past week or two, Brazil's gotten some rains. People are kind of bumping up maybe some of their production numbers in Brazil, but Argentina is still seeing some crop losses. And so I think that for the beans, the easy money is behind us. And now, you know, when you start shifting from a weather market to a demand market, it, you know, you only get data on demand maybe once a week, and USDA numbers once a month. So you're going to have a lot more volatility in the beans, a lot more choppy trade. But, you know, when you talk about carryout beans as low as 50, you know, I think we have to eventually retest last week's highs and trade above them. It's just not, you know, it's not going to be straight up.
Merrill Crowley.
Hey, we talked about the old crop and China buying. What do you think the amount of China has left to ship of soybeans? And is the China demand continued to expected to continue into 2021? And the last part of the question is, how much do you think is left of the unknown that belongs to China yet to ship?
Total commitment to China and the beans is about 34 million tons, and we think that they'll probably take 38 million tons, and then next year somewhere between 44 and 45 million tons. We've got about 11 million tons, close to 12 million tons of corn on the books with some in the unknown, and again, we think that they'll take 20 million tons of corn from us this year, and then 50 million tons, all origin, probably 40 million tons of corn from us next year. And again, I think the new administration, that they might come in here and buy more ag goods. I think they probably bought something around $17, maybe $18 billion worth of ag goods under phase one versus 36. Next year, we think they'll take $46 billion worth of U.S. ag goods. And part of it is because they need it, and part of it is kind of dealing with the new administration.
So if I understood you correctly, we got about 4 million metric tons you don't think China will take from us in beans? And I guess I missed part on unknowns.
Yeah, I think that you know, people are saying that, you know, the unknown is coming down every week. You know, they buy 400,000 tons and cancel 700,000 tons from the unknown. But I think all in all, they'll ship 38 million tons of beans from the U.S. And so, you know, if I have an export number closer to 2350 and a crush number that might be just a little bit above what you're seeing, you know, we take the carryout from 140 down to 50. And, you know, the minimum pipeline is 140. So, you know, we really can't go below 140. And so the market has to do a job of trying to slow some of this demand down.
Maybe I should back into it another way. I guess really what I'm looking for is, how much do you think of the total committed, whether it be unknown or China, do you think any of it is going to be either switched to South America, which would help support the ending stocks figure, increase it?
I don't foresee any switching to South America because, you know, our prices are competitive until March. You know, there was a time frame in which we thought that during maybe July and August, U.S. crushers might have to import soybeans from Brazil to finish our crush. But, you know, we are cheaper during that time frame than Brazil, and so we are actually selling China some beans in that July-August time frame. So I don't foresee anything that is on the books in the unknown switch to South America, switch to Brazil, And I think we have a real problem trying to get everything demand satisfied between now and new crop. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, you're seeing the need for more planted acres based on, you know, the informer survey. So both for corn and beans.
Steve, why is it that crush in the United States has been running at a record pace for such a very long time? What end users are demanding meal and oil?
Well, I think there's two reasons. Number one, Argentina, you know, as I said earlier, is a mess. We've had strikes down there. We've got boats waiting to load. You know, there's more talk about truckers striking. And then when you have inflation very high, there's no reason for a farmer to sell beans or corn, because tomorrow they'll be getting more pesos than today. Now, there is some talk about restricting some exports because of the weather situation. And so today, the Argentina farmer picked up some of his selling, but, you know, we're still not seeing the boats loaded. So if I'm a meal buyer, I have to come to the United States and buy meal if I normally would buy from Argentina. The other thing is that, you know, we're seeing record high domestic meal futures prices and prices in China, as they their hog herd is up 10% from September through December, and their feed demand, I think, is going to improve. So, you know, at one point we thought they would take 104 million tons of beans. That may have backed off a little bit because of the virus spreading. But, you know, in 2022, they could take 110 million tons of beans. And so you have limited protein coming out of Argentina, and in China you have protein demand record high.
Kurt, Steve has laid out the fundamentals for us. What does the technical picture look like for both corn and soybeans?
Well, right now the trend's your friend, and it's definitely higher. I think what we got to do is to watch how the market finishes here tomorrow, Friday, and see if we record a weekly reversal down, and see if that maybe sets the stage for a little bit more of a correction. Good bull markets stay overbought, like good bear markets stay oversold. And you can have a fairly sizable correction if you draw a trend line and look how far it could go down. It could fall quite a bit and still be in an uptrend in through here. So short-term momentum indicators are rolled over. For those who follow the buy-sell signals right now, the popular thing, the stochastics are in a little bit of a short-term sell mode, but it wouldn't take much for the funds to come back in and change that momentum back up here as they put risk back on.
Wayne Nelson, do you foresee producers in any part of the United States making drastic changes in their acreage mix?
No, Todd, I really, well, the where it's going to happen is probably in the Dakotas. I think that they might plant a few more beans because they had a lot of prevent plant acres last year, number one. And number two, the Pacific Northwest, the bean shipments that might go out of there, I think that we might see some shift that way. As far as here, we're going to look at the corn-bean ratio, and I imagine we didn't have hardly any prevent plant acres. But, you know, so I think we could shift just a little bit to corn if the ratio stays favorable towards it, because farmers like to plant corn. We are hearing that in the south they're going to plant a few more bean acres, few less cotton acres, and some of their acreage down there, and they're going to plant as soon as they can to try to see if they can get in on the old crop type bid, if they can come in early on some stuff.
And Merrill, what are you watching most closely in either of the commodities?
Right now, technically, I'm watching 1350. We've got to stay above that. If we don't stay above that, we really don't have any support until we get down to about 1250. And that's what everybody knows about prices. We don't stay in the $13 to $12 area very long. We either reverse and come down, or we go up. You know, right now, the fundamentals are suggesting we've got to go up, but you just don't have to. The corn market, it looks like, let me see real quick here. Tend to get numbers mixed up. So the support there is right around 5.10, and if it breaks that, I think it's going to go to $5. $5 is just your natural support area, and breaking that, go another at least 20 cents lower. So, and then you talk to people about selling or about the markets, everybody's waiting for the old crop to come up to the new crop. We've got like a $2 spread between old crop, new crop beans, and historically you just don't, you have a large spread in these types of years that never comes off. I think everybody could relate to the spread between, say, 96 and decent 97, and everybody losing money after they rolled into the hedge to rise, hoping that that market spread would come together. So I guess my biggest concern is holding these supports and making, getting farmers to realize that you're just not going to see the new crop trade at levels of the old crop until you find some way to threaten the new crop.
I have to admit, Merrill, I find it somewhat astounding that in August we were talking about a three-handle, maybe a two-handle on corn, and now you're talking about a break to the $5 level in the marketplace. I'm wondering what you've been telling producers as it relates to making old crop corn sales that they have still yet to do.
Don't have a whole lot of corn that I haven't recommended to be sold. Beans, we pretty much out of the soybeans except for some gambling stocks here or there. I was talking to one guy today at one of the elevators, and he said if somebody asked me to put together a train load of corn, it'd be no problem. They asked me to put together a train load of beans, I'd be wondering if I could get one car loaded. So that kind of tells you the situation there, and that suggests why the prices are high. You know, coming up in the next couple of weeks, the only thing we have that I see that really is going to support prices, and that doesn't mean we're going to fall apart. We could sit here and go sideways. But the only thing I really find to support prices that would be new news, as we all know, the bear's got to be fed. I mean, the bull's got to be fed every day. And the only thing I see in here new news is the February 9th report. And then shortly after that, what's left of the crop to be sold in South America is going to start seeing farmers sell at the prices they have, because those are good prices. And that's going to provide some hedging into the market. So it's going to be interesting. And I think Steve said earlier, the volatility is going to be there. And I guess I would just say a second time over, yeah, we're going to get into some big swings and a lot of volatility.
Steve, is the United States, depending on whose hands the beans are in, but is the United States really short, as short as it feels like it is on the supply of soybeans?
Yeah, we could be. I mean, you know, the December 1 soybean stocks came out, you know, pretty much near what the average trade thought, but below last year. And I think all the beans are in the commercial hands. And so, you know, if there's some surprise demand on the export side, we really don't have the supply to satisfy that. And some people, you know, are looking at 2008. You know, we continued in 2008 to trade higher into the summer because of the weather. But the farmers sold a lot of grain at these prices for new crop. And so there wasn't a lot of new hedge pressure above the market. And, you know, you had some capital concerns in 2008 as the prices went up because of margin calls. And so, you know, we're not predicting a price rally in 2008 like this year, but it's all up to Mother Nature. And I think supplies are tight. The NOAA came out today with its first look at the summer weather pattern, and it came out warmer than normal. So NOAA changes their mind every 2 weeks as far as looking at summer weather. But, you know, the last thing that we need, and we haven't traded yet, would be some kind of weather issue in the U.S. in 2021.
How about this? And I think Kurt and Wayne will ask each of you this. Between now and March 15, actually between now and March 1, when crop insurance prices are set, is there really anything that can move the corn or the soybean markets enough to create a new crop price much lower than where we are? Wayne?
Well, you know, we can pull back a little bit just because of fund liquidation like we did this week a couple times. But I'm going to say that for right now, we're still trying to buy acres. And I think that we're going to try to hold, you know, somewhere around this 440 to 460 mark in there for that time period. So I think we're going to hang in here. The question being is, can we move on up? You know, Kurt, Steve, and I watched a very encouraging and bullish report the other day as the ADM's having their virtual meetings right now. And, you know, it's just, I was going to ask Steve if he thought that that he has as much enthusiasm as our two presenters the other day.
The best way to answer that is yes, because, you know, we're dealing with unprecedented potential low U.S. Carryouts, which will support the market. And then we have to have the acres. And then, you know, if we are get everybody gets a shot, 100 million shots in 100 days, and we put part of the COVID concern behind us, and people go back to restaurants and people go back to offices and people travel and people feel better about that, there's going to be a huge demand for raw materials, whether it's food or fuel or things like that. And then you have the Fed giving us a little bit uptick in inflation. So nobody's talking about Jimmy Carter inflation, but we are talking about a little bit better inflation. And so we have so much money sitting in savings accounts, and that money will start coming either buying stuff or coming to the markets. And right now, you have the managed funds very interested in buying commodities. And we're watching the 30-year bond and see what it does. Does it keep going down? And, you know, we're watching the commodity index and see if it keeps going up. So besides, you know, grain fundamentals, the potential of post-COVID buying of things is tremendous. And, you know, the grain part of ADMIS's webcast was simply about when you look at corn and soybean, U.S. and global stocks to usage ratios and where they could go. And you look at historically where that puts prices. It puts prices above where we are now. And so you need a buyer. And in a demand-led market, it's usually the commercial, and there was a lot of commercial pricing on this break lately. And so I think that, to me, the most important report is the March reports. If the USDA comes in where some of these private carryouts are, then that's when we get the next jump higher.
Steve, the two words, inflation and super cycle, not holding you to it and not saying it's prediction, but how high would high be?
Well, again, about 2 weeks ago, we had one commercial come out and said they thought that, number one, the carryout for beans is going to be 65. And where they're located, there is no more farmer selling in the beans. They own it all in their elevators. And they were talking about something over $18 beans. Sometimes. Now, the timing of that is two things. It's either March, or if we have a weather problem, it's July. And so we tend to make a lower trend in February because we run out of news, bullish news. But again, when you sit back and watch the demand pace and look at what we're maybe going to do. It's just back some of its weather premium. So, you know, if we all of a sudden either feel like we're going to have normal weather here in the U.S. in 2021 or China stops buying, the market will put a top in. But right now, we don't think that's in the cards.
Let's get a final word at this point from everybody. I think, Merrill Crowley, I'll start with you today from First Choice Commodities out of Watsika, Illinois.
I think we need to be on our toes. And I agree that these things have just a ton of potential, but the market doesn't always, it looks more at facts. And we're going to have to see a lot of ifs come together to really push this market to levels higher than we had in 2012. And the other thing that we got to watch is that we take care of pricing ahead as we have these opportunities, because as sure as night is day, expenses will increase, acres will increase all over the world, and we'll go right back into a situation we had prior.
Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
Option volatility this time of year is usually 15 to 20% volatility, making options a buy. But with the recent market activity we've seen, option volatility has moved up to this 35, 45%, making them fairly expensive. So if you're an option buyer, you got to pay attention to them and not let that volatility sneak away from you. Secondly, this past year, China's New Year's name was the Year of the Rat. So on February 12th, we're going to change the trend here to the Year of the Ox.
Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana.
I think that we have to look for opportunities to maybe put some, if we want to sell some grain at some of these levels, and then replace it with some bull call spreads. Because I think, as Kurt was saying, the volatility is too high to just plain buy a call and sit back. And even if we feel there's the kind of demand that's what we're looking at and the carryouts as low as they are, you can go fairly well out of the money and sell a put too and help to finance that a little bit. You have to keep on your toes. That's not a position that you put on and just walk away and say it's going to work because it can move either way a little bit and you're going to maybe have to move one. But we are looking at the idea of scaling in some sales, just because we like the idea of selling corn over $5 if we still got it in the bin, you know, a little bit. We don't have to sell it all. And if we can get up another 20 cents in the corn, why, we would like to be pricing some of the corn also.
And finally, Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services in Chicago. Your final word.
I think over the last week, I saw a lot of people write things like buckle up, look for more volatility. I think in general, the farmer's in a good cash position because of COVID payments and these prices, and looking ahead at a very good 2021 crop and a 2022 pricing year. So I think that we have to, you know, make sure we have a plan. And if we do add another 50 cents in beans or 20 cents in new crop corn, you know, take advantage of that, but be a scale-in seller in what could be an up market. Because if it's profitable right now to sell some cash, the new crop, you should take advantage of that. And I just think that every day we're going to have some pretty wide ranges in the market as we try to deal with, you know, do we run tight of grain supplies? Or are we going to have plenty of supplies after next year's harvest?
You can hear the whole of our program anytime you'd like. Commodity Week at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Merrill Crowley from First Choice Commodities in Watsika, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and from Chicago, the Vice President of Research at ADM Investor Services, Steve Freed. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.